WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Attention all Anglophiles. 21 novels by Angela Thirkell, who critics have compared to Anthony Trollope and Barbara Pym, are currently being reissued by Moyer Bell Publishers. This is the first time in decades that some of Thirkell's work has been available in paperback, and book critic Maureen Corrigan wants to know why it took so long.
I don't particularly want to talk to you about the novels of Angela Thirkell. I just want to go back home, curl up into my lazy boy, and continue to read them. Since Thirkell wrote nearly 40 novels set in the imaginary English county of Barsetshire, I figure that, allowing for sleep, work, food, and bathroom breaks, it should take me till the end of February to get through all of them, by which time spring will almost be here. Maybe I've stumbled upon the literary cure for seasonal affective disorder. I'm new to the thrills of Thirkell, but she's always had a cult following here and in Great Britain. In fact, during the height of her popularity, during the late 1930s and 40s, reading groups called Thirkell Circles sprang up across the land. Like Anthony Trollope, whom she modeled herself after, Thirkell was a master of the comedy of manners, an underrated subgenre whose practitioners, with the exception of Jane Austen, have usually been exiled to the outer limits of the canon. Thirkell's stories are populated by woolly-brained vicars and eccentric housewives in baggy tweeds, yet her world manages to be charming without being precious. Her secret, I think, is the drop of vinegar she stirs into her fictional societal soup. Her parents, for instance, often nurse secret disappointments in their children. Thinking of her son, a Thirkell mother says, "At 29, Freddie was approximating something human." Likewise, the common folk tend to view their gentry employers with a weary indulgence that's wearing thin. In the two just-published novels that are ushering in this new Thirkell reprint series, everybody's nerves are on edge because of World War II. Growing Up, which was first published in 1944, takes place in the remote village of Winter Overcoats. Sir Harry Waring's manor house has been turned into an army convalescent home, evacuated London schoolchildren have swelled the ranks of the local academy, and because of the man shortage, women porters are staffing the railway station. The Headmistress, which originally came out in 1945 and is rightly acknowledged as one of Thirkell's best books, does an even more deliciously detailed job of recording how, during the war, the strange became familiar. The ladies of Harefield occupy themselves with camouflage netting parties and fishbone drives. Everyone is using saccharine tablets and getting indigestion from the vile, vitamin-stuffed government-issue flour. Much of the humor in both novels arises out of the unique wartime situation where all sorts of people are inappropriately jumbled together. And yet, the reality of the war, which lurks outside the charmed comic circle of these villages, occasionally seeps through. "I'm concentrating on a career," announces a young lady in The Headmistress. "If you get engaged, the man only goes and gets killed or taken prisoner." This kind of casually callous remark must have been uttered a lot during the war, yet only a miniaturist like Thirkell would think it worth preserving. One of the early reviews of The Headmistress deemed it a nice, relaxing book. Both of these novels could be characterized that way, but Thirkell is also a more wily writer than her critics acknowledge. As she's lulling you into a state of smiling stupor, she's also implanting into your imagination a startling vision of a world gone wrong.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Headmistress and Growing Up by Angela Thirkell, reissued by the publisher Moyer Bell.